was the last time you put on some formal wear? It's been a long time since I had to make much of an effort with my clothes, even at work, I have to say. But several surveys over the last few years have found that employees are ditching formal dress codes in workplaces, especially since COVID sent a lot of us scurrying home to our tracksuit pants. Is that a bad thing? Or does keeping a level of formality in our dress help regulate how we relate to each other? Alex Haslam is a Professor of Social and Organisational Psychology and a Laureate Fellow at the University of Queensland. Alex, welcome to Life Matters.
Hi, lovely to be with you.
Great to have you on the show. And with us today too is Dr. Prudence Black, who's an expert in fashion history at the University of Adelaide. And we'll go to Alex first. Alex, what role does formality play socially? I mean, was it just for the upper classes who could afford to get a bit of frou-frou on?
Well, I think historically formality has been very much about identity, yeah, and it's about carving out a space for yourself in the world. And dress is one of the things that we do most conspicuously to say something about who we are as a group and to define ourselves in relation to other groups. So, yeah, absolutely. I think dress and social class and other things have been absolutely critical in that regard, yeah. And I think we all understand and recognize that and relate to those things too.
Well, and as we like to think of our society as a bit more egalitarian these days, has our attitude to formality evolved as well? Have we become generally more casual?
I think that's an interesting question. And I think the idea that, you know, that dress, you know, is sending particular signals. It's definitely the case that, like, each group and each generation defines itself in some ways in contrast to previous generations. And I think looking casual or having a particular look is a way in which we signal that we're not of the other group that was there before us. So I think, and that's in a way how fashion works. Fashion is about creating a distinctive identity for the group that you identify with that differentiates you from all the other groups that are out there. So I think that's what's going on in the dress space. How that relates to, if you like, more generally being formal and serious, I think is more complicated. And I don't think it's necessarily the case that because you dress more formally, you're not taking the world and your work seriously. In fact, I think those are very different registers. Conditions they're very much aligned, but in other conditions I think that they're not at all. And I don't think, I'm not aware of any evidence that suggests that because people may be resisting the idea that they need to wear formal work attire, that's making them any less productive or less engaged or less diligent, for example. I think if anything, the opposite might be true.
Is it a bit of a useful visual reminder though to mind our P's and Q's that we're not at the pub?
I think there's definite context in which you want employees to wear uniforms to differentiate them from other people. Like on a plane, you want the flight attendants to look different from the passengers for obvious reasons. And obviously people who have formal responsibility like police or the armed services, we want them to dress in particular ways so that we recognize them for who they are. But also I think it's important for the members of those professions that they too are, if you like, are conforming to certain expectations. And dress, I think, is a way in which you can, if you like, clarify those obligations and also signal your commitment to them. So I think it's hugely important. And there's a whole raft of contexts in which we absolutely wouldn't want people to just be doing their own thing. I mean, if you go to a hospital or whatever it might be, it's clearly important that you can see who's who so that you can relate to them in the right way.
Well, yes, those scrubs are among the least formal of clothes, aren't they? They're a distinction without being a hierarchy in that sense. Prudence, let's take a little byline through the Australian perspective before we come back to this idea about how more and less formal clothes make us feel and act. Do we have a particular relationship with dressing formally or informally?
Look, I think Australians have always liked to dress for an occasion. I mean, I think, actually, if you go back to colonial dress, if we want to go back to the very early periods, there was always that sense of being ultra stylish because women in particular wanted to distance themselves from the association with convicts. So there was this sense of how do we want to kind of maintain a certain standard and actually look in a particular way that distances ourselves from this other group. So I think from the very early years in Australia, you know, there were women who were kind of trying to dress in a particular way. They were actually, their clothing was determined by what they could get from England. It wasn't that they were making their own clothes. So they were, their look was very much determined by another country in a way. But then that quickly developed. I mean, this is the thing, you know, people think Australians are quite casual in their dress because there's this whole kind of workman's casual bush dress that was also developed at the same time because you know, you had to wear very practical clothes in those early days of the colonies. So, formal dress is actually not very practical, you know. So you think the opposite of the formal dress is a practical garment which just has to be utilitarian.
Well, it did seem to vary from place to place a lot, didn't it? I mean, there were photos of my mum in the 60s at weddings with the whole hat and gloves and purse ensemble and stockings everywhere. And then about 5 or 6 years later, all the photos are everyone in minis. No stockings, you know, it's an amazing evolution. Where are we at now fashion-wise, Prudence, do you think?
Would, can I just go back a step to what you just said, that I think there was a pivotal moment in Australian fashion history in 1965 when Jean Shrimpton, who was a very beautiful English model, came out sponsored by the DuPont synthetic fabric company. And she appeared at the Melbourne Cup Carnival wearing a mini skirt, which is still being talked about today. You know, every Melbourne Cup day, you get an image of Jean Shrimpton in this Melbourne Cup. But the issue there was precisely about her breaking form. You know, she was young. She was standing there. She didn't have a hair tied back. She didn't have a hat on. She didn't have stockings. And all the images of her on that day, she was in the Melbourne Cup, you know, enclosure, which was very formal. And so what she was doing was she broke form on that day, you know, literally, by not respecting a whole kind of tradition. And Melbourne Cup was the day of the year, still pretty much the day of the year where you can get frocked up and go out. And so that was a kind of really pivotal moment. I mean, no, it's remembered as a time when the miniskirt came in. But actually about young people coming into the public sphere and breaking form. And I think that was actually a pivotal moment in Australian fashion history because it actually gave us a whole new demographic of young people. You know, the teenager starts coming into, the Australian Women's Weekly, you know, brought in their teenage lift out. So you have a whole new demographic of young people determining new sorts of fashions and new ways of being, I suppose.
Well, then what about now? I mean, can wearing fancier clothes make us feel a particular way in your view, Prudence?
Oh, look, I think dressing up your formal clothes, it's about transformation. It's actually realigning our messy selves. I think most of us kind of... you know, I'm sitting here in my trackies, you know, at the moment because I'm at home.
Life matters tradition.
So I think that, you know, there is a moment, you know, dressing up is a moment of actually trying to become something other, but it's also fitting the occasion. I mean, I think, I think, you know, I'm thinking of another fashion moment with Don Dunstan in 1972 appearing in his pink shorts at Parliament. I mean, this is another example where you actually see someone trying to break form and trying to create a new look. Now, that didn't work. I mean, politicians still wear suits to work. You know, the pink shorts have not kind of eventuated. But there's always people trying to casualise fashion, make it more, practical. But then there's always these occasions, you know, like the midwinter ball. We're talking politicians. Why do the politicians want to dress up for the midwinter ball in Canberra? You know, what's that about? You know, it's about saying, actually, we can be something other than that, you know, the person we're watching in speaker time, you know. So I think... people want the opportunity to have little moments of transformation.
Well, we're speaking with two people from different perspectives about how the way we dress can make us feel and perhaps even act differently. Dr. Prudence Black is an expert in fashion history at the University of Adelaide, and Alex Haslam is a professor of social and organisational psychology at the University of Queensland. Alex, in the context of these kind of societal changes and how dress reflects that, how do employers feel about the idea that workplaces might become increasingly casual? I mean, if you've got people wearing singlets and shorts at work, do they worry about whether that will change people's approach to the professionalism or productivity of the workplace?
I think they can do under some circumstances, but I think a lot depends on the nature of the work that people are doing, and also the relationship between the employer and the employees. I think change, as we've just been hearing, I mean, you know, I think change has always been part of the Australian experience, and dress changes over time. And I think, yeah, we're going through a period perhaps where there's a desire to wear more casual clothing, and providing I think that's acceptable and it's not problematic for, you know, the actual doing of business in some way. I don't see that a good employer would say, rule it out on just like, no, this is not acceptable. But again, it does depend a little bit on the identity of the organization, what the organization is trying to do and how it's trying to position itself in the world. So if you've got a formal restaurant or some formal business like banking, whatever it might be, there might be conditions under which you say, look, in terms of the image we want to project on the world and how we want to be seen by others, it's necessary that we act in this way. And if people don't do that, that can be problematic. But I think actually dress is most effective as when people exercise choice in what they do, and removing choice from dress for no good reason, I don't think is a very good sort of employment strategy, if you like. And I think there's no real evidence that it's ever a particular line of tension between employees and employers. So I think you know, it's one of those things that is a litmus test for kind of relations, but what's going on in the world and the ways in which people want to enact identities, as we've just been talking about, and these things change over time. Absolutely.
Well, yeah, and as we heard from Prudence, you know, the Parliament is a suit central. You know, that's a place that's clearly presenting an image of itself to the world. As I don't know, what does that say, Alex? That it's about where power resides. That it's responsible.
Well, I think, you know, formal dress is, you know, but I mean, is a way of communicating, you know, one's place in the world, and typically is associated with higher status and more power. So, you know, I remember I had an electrician who was coming to our house, and he was actually dressed incredibly smartly, and I asked him, you don't look like a normal electrician, and he just said, well, I work in places, and I find that if I dress up smartly, then people take me more seriously. And I think, you know, that I think if I were to go to work in my gardening clothes or whatever, that would be problematic in terms of, I think, it would be confusing for people in terms, especially if, you know, if I'm enacting some role of power too. Mm-hmm. So again, I think that conformity and taking on those roles, but also communicating and signalling power, yeah, is absolutely, you know, a key part of dress, particularly like in the workplace. But obviously it has different functions in social contexts, like we were talking about the Melbourne Cup or something like that. I think that can also be a way of establishing some level of identity continuity over time. Like, this is the way that we've always dressed for weddings or funerals or whatever it might be. So there are certain types of things where, again, we don't want to necessarily be distinctive, and we want to signal some connection to groups rather than, if you like, divergence and difference. So that wonderful thing about dress is it allows us to do these various different forms of identity work, if you like, and to position ourselves in the world and in relation to those identities as we see fit. And it's, you know, it's a peculiarly human thing, obviously, but I think it's an amazingly sort of powerful thing, because it allows us to read people and read situations emotions clearly in a way that would be very hard to communicate certain ideas in words or through other means. So, you know, it does a lot of work. But one of the things is we just take it for granted. We don't really sort of think about it very much. But, it, you know, as an act of communication, it's incredibly powerful.
Yes, it's a very multi-layered text that we can read all around us. Wish we had more time to talk about this. It's such a fascinating subject. But thank you both so much for joining us to dip a toe in today on Life Matters. Alex Haslam and Dr. Prudence Black, thank you.
Thank you.
Alex is a Professor of Social and Organisational Psychology and a Laureate Fellow at the University of Queensland. And Dr. Prudence Black is an expert in fashion history at the University of Adelaide.
It's easier than ever to hear your favourite local and national ABC radio stations live and on demand on the ABC Listen app.